I'm Andrew, and I'm preaching today because Pastor Brenton is on vacation. So let's begin the first worship service in 2021 with a survey question. And Roscoe is going to put it on everyone's screen. And the question is, what do you want to do more than anything after COVID is over in 2021? And Roscoe has put up a lot of choices. So I could see that the answers are coming in fast and furious. And I'll give you guys maybe, you know, a bit more time just to fill it in. So far we are getting 70% and counting. A lot of answers are coming in. Great. So 78, okay, so 79, 80. Oh, we are just getting very close. Just about everyone has responded. So it looked like for our ECAC community, the top in mind is a tie between international travel and hugging someone. Sort of the third is visit family. So, and that's actually very close to the Angus poll that was published on December 22nd. And here's the answer. For most Canadians, top in mind is to doing regular things without stress. And that means all of without being reminded to wear a mask, to wash your hand, and then to keep distance. And the second is hugging people, shaking hands, getting the physical contact. And third is to travel internationally. And for many Canadians in this unusual time, the answers to the common questions are unusual, even downright nostalgic. Just very little things that we probably took for granted before last March. Now we are longing to do it, to do those little things again. And that's about, you know, that's related to our sort of mental state today. You know, 2020 is just passed and 2021 is ahead of us. And I just want to bring a message that is about forgetting the past and looking forward. And before we begin, let's pray. Father God, we come before you, just want to give you thanks that you have kept us safe and healthy, and just want to pray that your spirit will be with us and give us the heart to open up to your message, to your words, and may we encounter you in our sermon today. Pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. So let's begin the sermon, and this should sound familiar to most of you. opening text and sort of mentioned a period of darkness. And I guess you all know the movie is the first ever Star Wars movie. It's named A New Hope, Episode 4. And talk about a period in which the good rebellion was fighting the evil galactic empire. Even the space background, as you can see, is mostly black. The movie title hints at the turning point, passing of the dark time and dawning of a new era when the Force will rule the galaxy. A small band of rebels led by three unlikely heroes, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker, and Han Solo, represent that hope to restore peace to the galaxy. That's episode 4. How about A New Hope, episode 2021? For many, this holiday season, with COVID raging, parties canceled, and traditions put off, is forgettable, yet it is so unforgettable. Vice versa, this holiday season is also unforgettable because it is so forgettable. News headline on Washington Post read, "Giving up on 2020, looking toward 2021. Guess when it was published? December? Nope. November? Nope. It was published on July 14th. So like 2020 was barely half over, and we already talked about forgetting 2020, and I wish that it could end soon. And for now, I guess our hope is on the vaccines. And like most people, I mean, Christians would probably want to forget the bleak 2020 and instead look forward to a brighter 2021. How can we do it? What is our hope? What does the Bible teach us about forgetting the past and forging a new future? So today's passage is from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. And let's read it. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Before diving into the text, I will mention this background just to help us understand the context. So Paul writes the text using a metaphor of a runner in race. And he mentions running toward the goal, that means the finishing line. He mentions not looking behind. He mentions straining and stretching forward to cross the finish line. He mentions prize. All these elements help us conjure up a picture that Paul is like an athlete, like a runner who's running the race of his life. And secondly, Paul talks about one thing I do in verse 14. But then he also talk about forgetting, straining, and pressing on. So is he talking about one thing or three things? In these two verses, Paul deliberately matches two participles, forgetting and straining together. On top, he adds two more contrasts, what lies behind and what lies ahead. The parallelism is to emphasize the point that how the one thing is to be done. In short, Paul's one thing is to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus in verse 14. Forgetting the past and straining forward are the attitude or manner to do the one thing. Therefore, when Paul lives out his life like a runner, he's focused on the goal. He's not distracted in any way. He does not dabble in many things, just one thing. And so let's talk about the one thing that Paul emphasized so much. So what's that? What's so special that he will cast away all other things? What is so special that his eyes are on the prize only? What's so special that he dedicates his life to it? The one thing is the goal, his goal. Let's unpack it from three angles. First, Paul says the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is it? Do you know your calling in life? What is a call? What's your calling as a student, your calling in career, your calling as a family? According to some Bible scholars, what Paul may have in mind about the call is related to Asian athletic games. After a game is finished, the president will call out the name of the victor, the victor's father's name, and his country. And the winner will step onto the podium and receive the prize. Thus, the upward call is a prestigious and triumphant moment for the winning athlete in ancient time. But to us, an even more awesome moment for Christians when Jesus returns and calls our name. We are God's people, after all. Can you imagine being called by God one day? How will you feel when that call comes? Exciting? Ecstatic? Exhilarating? Paul reminds us of our identity as God's people and thus to live as God's people every day. Secondly, after assuring us of the why, Paul talks about the goal. Goal is so important that he uses a special word for goal that appears nowhere else in the New Testament. The goal sets the direction we need to go. In a race, runners follow the route direction so that they will reach the goal, the finish line. Likewise, Christians will follow Jesus' direction through his word so that we become God's people and will be called by him. Then, what is our goal? Well, our church's mission and direction is to make disciple-making disciples. And this should be our direction too. This is, we all will follow Jesus, become his disciples, and make others disciples. We are not chugging along in our lives in 2021. We are God's people. We are his disciples. We have a goal. We will follow Jesus. Direction. Oops. And thirdly, Paul reminds us of the rewards of reaching the goal. Rewards give us the incentives to reach our goals. Rewards gives us the persistence to overcome obstacles. Rewards give us the endurance through setbacks. What's the price? The price itself is qualified by the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Earlier in verse 8 in the same chapter, Paul brings up his aspiration and determination. Verse 8, he says, "What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ to be found in him." Therefore, for Paul, the prize is found in Jesus. Jesus is the prize. To know Jesus fully and completely is always the prize for which he has been pursuing ever since he first encounters Jesus. This morning, I invite all of you to take up Paul's teaching to pursue Jesus, maybe for the first time, maybe for the second time, or other times. Sometimes Christians flounder in our spiritual journey. We lose heart because we forget our identity as God's people. We are not sure of our why. We lose direction, or we lose sight of the prize of King in Christ. Paul encourages us to take hold of our identity, set the goal, follow direction, because Jesus is our prize and within our reach. So that's the goal, direction. Second, you know, that's one of the adjective, forgetting what lies behind. What does Paul mean when he tells us to forget? You know, for example, 2020 is a year that is hard to forget, right? You know, a youth who graduated from senior high this summer lamented to me and complained, I've spent 13 years studying at kindergarten and school, and now not only do I not have a real grad ceremony, I also do not even have a prom. I will never forget it. It is so easy to say, forget, but how? How can I make my brain forget 2020? You know, what does Paul mean? Like that? You know, are we going to undergo a brain surgery to remove the brain cells to erase the memory? Of course not. You know, I don't think we can do it. And all of us probably have some painful or heartbreaking memories that we want to forget. And Paul is probably no different. Before becoming a Christian, he's a violent persecutor who brutally attacks Christians. And he recounts his dark past in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And in that passage, he twice calls himself the worst sinner of all. That past might have haunted or even paralyzed some people, but not him. Although he remembers his past, it does not define him or makes him hesitant. After the confession, Paul says that God has redeemed his past, makes something good out of his dark history. God's mercy and grace towards a sinner like Paul himself is a testimony to other people and believers. You see, having a dark history is not the end of the world. Making a mistake is not eternal. Painful and tragic events do not have the last say. God can redeem our forgettable past and turn into unforgettable testimonies. Paul is but an example in which God transforms people and our past into something good, something that glorifies God. To Paul, the future is more important than the past. I will use an actual race as an illustration. During the British Games held in Vancouver in 1954, two elite runners in the picture, Roger Bannister and John Landy, competed in the 1 mile race. The attention was all on them as they leapfrogged each other in setting records that year. So going to the last lap, Landy held the lead and looked as if he would win. However, as he was near the finishing line, he was haunted by the question, where is Bannister? As he turned to look, Bannister surged ahead, took the lead, and won the race. Landy later admitted, if I hadn't looked back, I would have won. When we look back, cling onto the past, it slows us down. It impedes us. Someone said, no matter what you did in the past, your future is spotless. May we press on in Christ and did not look back. Lastly, is the attitude of straining forward. And Paul continues the metaphor with the with athletes. He talked about straining with all the energy and stretching out to cross the finish line in a race. In the picture, you can see the athletes exerting every single ounce of their energy and might to lunge forward. Do you notice the muscle and the strains on their body? That's what Paul has in mind, stringing forward to what lies ahead. And sort of, I would like to wrap up the today's message with a truly remarkable story. The woman in the picture is Jennifer Thompson and the man Ronald Cotton. Jennifer was brutally attacked when she was young. Out of a police lineup, she confidently picked out Ronald as the attacker. Despite claiming innocence, he was sentenced to imprisonment. While at jail, he continued his appeal. After 11 years, Ronald was finally allowed to take a DNA test that proved his innocence. He was exonerated and released. After an 11-year ordeal sitting in a prison for a crime he did not commit. Out of jail, he struggled to restore his shattered life and deal with his disappointment or even bitterness. Meanwhile, Jennifer was horrified by what she did, picking and sending an innocent man to jail. She was full of guilt. 2 years later, they met face to face near a church. Jennifer admitted her mistake and asked Ronald for forgiveness. And Ronald accepted the offer, forgave her, and he realized she made an honest mistake. But that's not the end of the story. And because from that point onward, they also forged an unlikely friendship that changed and transformed both of their lives. They co-wrote the book Picking Cotton, and it's a bestseller at the time. In the book, they shared their experiences, their ordeals, their tragedies, but they go further. They will tour together and advocate criminal reform to improve the witness identification process. You see, they do not forget their tragic and painful past. Yet, they are willing to open up their past, strain forward to make the world a better place. Our past does not define or condemn us. Jennifer and Cotton say so. Paul says so too. This is a new year. It's a new day. It's a new life and a new hope. And I would at this point just want to pause the message and ask Roscoe to post the two spiritual questions for discussion. And you can go to your breakout room and discuss these two questions. They are very simple. Number one, what are the two things that you want to forget or put behind you in 2021? The second question is, what are the two things that you look forward to with hope as Jesus followers in 2021?